Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. And for those that will be listening later on recording and other devices, Sabbath blessing everyone on this Sabbath, the 6th of 2025. Forgive me, my September is in Spanish. Of our lesson 442, this is our review of our chapter 86. Entitled Go and Teach All Nations, Part 8. We are going to hand our dear brother once more to share with us the Tiny Tot song. It's the hymn 463 entitled Peace, Perfect Peace.
Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed, to do the will of Jesus, this is rest. Peace, perfect peace, with loved ones far away, in Jesus' keeping, we are safe and they. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown, Jesus we know and he is on the throne. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious family. We are going to ask the precious little one if they would like to open the review section with prayer. May they have the mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for being the supper this morning. Please protect us. Please protect me and my mommy. Please protect the people who are in this Sabbath and people who are not in this Sabbath. Please protect everybody that I know. Please protect the way that I'm going to be learning. Please protect people who couldn't make it here. Please protect people who couldn't be here. Please protect everybody that I know. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, little one. This is the time that we are going to hear all the wonderful blessings the little one has been at their home, school, or any endeavors in their little life. If you would like to share, dear ones, maybe you unmute your mic.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. I'd like to thank God and thank Haley and Emma as well for their ability to continue to be little helpers. Last week was laundry week, and they were very insistent, please wake me up to take me to the laundry. And if anybody knows, when I go to the laundry, I wake up after 5 a.m. in the morning and have to get there by 6 o'clock to get the machines. So imagine them and their willingness to be able to get up that early and be able to come out and help and make putting the clothes in the washers and taking them out and helping to fold and to pack away the stuff a little bit more helpful. So I praise the Lord for their willingness, and I pray that they don't lose that as they continue to grow, and they will continue to be a help in every area that they step into. And I would like to praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If there's any other members of our remnant family that would like to share, otherwise we are going to have a chance later on this section of the testimony. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. It is story time for precious Tiny Talk to hear the review of their lesson. So let's have a listening ear, little one, and our dear brother Greg will share our chapter 27 entitled Go Tell My Disciple Part 2.
All right. The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of Matthew. Let's admit that person there. Matthew and Luke. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. And verse 6 says, He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. 7, And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before thee into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And Luke 24:5, And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? Well, they didn't know he was living. And verse 6, He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? They must have been there and heard it. And verse 7, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. We remember, why didn't you? And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Matthew 28:5-7. The women looked around looked again into the tomb, and saw another shining angel, who inquired of them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. Luke 24:5-6, 5-7. The angels then explained the death and resurrection of Christ. They reminded the women of the words that Christ himself had spoken, in which he had told beforehand of his crucifixion and his resurrection. These words of Jesus were now plain to them, and with fresh hope and courage, they hastened away to tell the glad news. Wow, what a message. Mary had been absent during this scene. She'd already gone to tell Peter, I think, and John that the tomb was empty, but now returned with Peter and John when they went back to Jerusalem. When they went back to Jerusalem, she stayed at the tomb. She could not bear to leave until she should learn what had become of the body of her Lord. As she stood weeping, she heard a voice which asked, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Her eyes were blinded with tears, by tears, that she did not notice who it was that spoke to her. You suppose Jesus took on a different voice so she wouldn't? She thought it might have been the gardener and said to him pleadingly, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will go and take him away. This is taken from the story of Jesus, page 159 and 160. Wonderful story.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. We will continue with part 3 of our lesson entitled Go Tell My Disciples in our Tiny Talk lesson book, The Story of Jesus, and that will take place September 13, 2025. Welcome to all the precious brethren, and we are going to hand it back to our dear brother for the review.
All right, in review, what did the angels remind the women of?
The answer to number 1 is the words that Christ himself had spoken.
Yes. Don't you remember what Jesus said? When Peter and John went back to Jerusalem, where was Mary?
She stayed at the tomb.
Any idea why she stayed there? That was a question. Well, she just had to know where his body had been taken. And she didn't know who she was going to talk to, but that's where she had last seen him. So that's where she was going to stay. Let's see. Let somebody in. What did the voice say to the, as she wept?
The answer to number three is, woman, what weepest, thou whom seekest thou.
Oh, what are you weeping about? What, who are you looking for? And let's see. The bonus question, blinded by her tears, whose voice did Mary thought she heard?
The answer to the bonus question is the gardener.
Yeah, she's figured, well, anybody around here besides myself at this time of morning must be the gardener. He's out to do some prettying up of the area. But boy, was she surprised. Thank you for listening and participating.
Dear ones, welcome. Sabbath lesson. It is time for our tiny talks and parents to learn precious lesson in God's creation through nature. This is our review of our topic, Mammoth of the Bible, and our dear brother Josh will share. Let's have a listening ear, little ones.
God blesses everyone. Here's today's lesson and review from last week. We'll be seeing the spiritual insight before the animal lesson. Our Bible verse for our lesson review is taken from the book FBL Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 8, Jesus Heals. And we'll look through Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 to 21, and it reads, "And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." We'll be seeing the spiritual insight before lesson two, a bad body. And the memory verse is Jeremiah 8:22. It reads, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" The character quality of the story is hopefulness versus desperation or hopelessness. Hopefulness is a desire of some good accompanied with the expectation of obtaining it, or belief that it is not obtainable. Hope always gives pleasure or joy, whereas wish or desire may produce or be accompanied with pain and anxiety. And here we have a little bit more information about the bat. This bat in particular is the kitty's hognose bat, or bumblebee bat. This bat's scientific name is Gracionicteris thonglongiae. In its description, the kitty's hognose bat has a very unique look to it. The fact that it is so tiny encourages the other name. It is frequently called by bumblebee bat. It is the smallest of all species of bats that are in the world. It is also one of the smallest mammals in the world. It weighs less than 1/4 of an ounce and is approximately an inch in length. The ears are large when you consider the small size of the rest of the body. They do have a tail, but many people don't think so. However, it is just so tiny that it is hard to see. They have long wings and make people wonder how they're able to fly. their diet and feeding habits. The fact that the kitty's hognose bat lives very close to the water means they're usually able to find plenty of insects that they can eat. Flies are in high supply around this area, and they make up most of the diet. They also consume lots of types of spiders. What is interesting that the kitty's hognose bat doesn't usually stop to eat. They will typically do it while they're still in flight. Taken from batsworlds.com/kitty's hognose bat or bumblebee bat. Continue. And touching his garment. On the way to the ruler's house, Jesus had met in the crowd a poor woman who for 12 years had suffered from a disease that made her life a burden. She had spent all her means upon physicians and remedies, only to be pronounced incurable. But her hope survived when she heard of the cures that Christ performed. She felt assured that if she could only go to him, he would be healed. In weakness and suffering, she came to the seaside where he was teaching and tried to press through the crowd, but in vain. Again, she followed him from the house of Levi Matthew, though still unable to reach him. He had begun to despair when, in making his way through the multitude, he came near where she was. The golden opportunity had come. She was in the presence of the great physician. But amid the confusion, she could not speak to him, nor catch more than a passing glimpse of his figure. Fearful of losing her one chance relief, she pressed forward, saying to herself, "If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." As he was passing, she reached forward and succeeded in barely touching the border of his garment. But in that moment, she knew that she was healed. In that one touch was concentrated the faith of her life. Instantly, her pain and feebleness gave place to the vigor of perfect health. The Desire of Ages, page 342-343. Over here, where we read above, hope is never ill, but faith as well, written by John Bunyan. In Psalm 33:22 says, "Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee." Read these thoughts. Most people do not know bats are around because they roost in dark places and come out at night. Bats hang upside down when they are resting. The bats can remind us of Jairus. It was unusual for a haughty person to seek the presence of a light of the world, just as it would be unusual for a bat who naturally likes darkness to come out into the daylight. But the sickness of his daughter drew Jairus to Jesus as the only help for her. Who was Jairus? He was a synagogue ruler. Jairus, as a synagogue ruler, was in charge of the service, including the reading of the Torah, the scriptures, and the people who led the service. He also was responsible for the synagogue building, including maintenance and repair, and even the cleaning chores. How did Jesus respond to the news that Jairus' daughter was dead? "Be not afraid, only believe." That's in Mark 5:36. Touching his garment, and behold, a woman with this disease, with an issue of blood, 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For he said within herself, "If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." Matthew 9:20-21. Because of the great loss of blood, it is thought the diseased woman has a severe case of anemia. Anemia means the body does not have enough red cells in the blood, or has lost a lot of blood. It is shown by pale skin color, rapid beating of the heart, and a tendency to be tired most of the time. Notice these foods that will help when one has anemia. And on our sides, we see a picture of a turnip, and on the other side, an asparagus. And over here, we see in this diagram, the best kinds of foods that can help with anemia. and five herbs to help you recover from an MK. One is the nettle, and its scientific name is Urtica deodica. And the nettle contains a high amount of vitamins A, B, K, and C, as well as iron. Two is the avocado. Its scientific name is Persia americana. The avocados provide a large amount of iron, plus a little boost in folate levels. Three, we have parsley. Its scientific name is Petrosolenum crispum. And parsley juice has a high concentration of iron. Four, we have the dandelion, whose scientific name is Taraxacum officinale. The dandelion leaves contain a lot of iron and enhance the body's ability to absorb it. And finally, lemons. Scientific name is Citrus limon. Vitamin C eases iron absorption, boosting the effects of iron supplements. And all this is taken from a website called www.herbazest.com. And below, we'll continue from the mammal book. Here are the kinds of foods that helps anyone that has anemia. Include the following in your diet: apples, apricots, asparagus, bananas, broccoli, kelp, leafy greens, okra, parsley, peas, plums, prunes, purple grapes, raisins, rice bran, squash, turnip greens, whole grains, and yams. Also eat foods high in vitamin C to enhance iron absorption. Here in this diagram, it says blood building foods to fight anemia, brought to you by www.liveloveroot.com. And here are the foods that can help face against this disease: beets, figs, nettles, spinach, parsley, grapes, broccoli, and kale. What can we learn from our nature walk experience, dear ones? Let's use our listening ears, little ones. Here is from where I visit with our dear brother, Joel, is the information referring, talking about Prospect Park Zoo. This Brooklyn Zoo, or a version of it, has been around since 1890 when the menagerie opened in Prospect Park. It wasn't until 1935 when the current zoo replaced it as a part of the revitalization program of state parks by Robert Moses. This Brooklyn Zoo has been open since the inception of a 5-year period, starting in 1988 for reconstruction and updating facilities. Here's a review of my experience at the Prospect Park. From me, is information from the peacock. The peacocks, the male members of the peafowl species, are known for their vibrant plumage and elaborate courtship displays, primarily found in India and Southeast Asia. Peacocks, also known as peafowl, are large, colorful birds that live in India and Asia. There are two species, blue peafowl and green peafowl. There is also a third African species, is known as the Congo peafowl, but is in a different genus. There are actually the males, and the females are known as peahens. Read on to learn about the peacock. Description of the peacock: male and female peafowl are drastically different in appearance. Peacocks are extravagant birds with iridescent blue necks and bright green tail feathers dotted with eye spots. Peahens are dull brown with iridescent green necks and cream-colored heads. The diet of the peacock. While wild peacocks wander through the underbrush in search of food, they are omnivores and feed on a variety of insects, seeds, grains, small mammals, flowers, fruits, berries, and small reptiles. They forage in groups and usually remain on the ground while feeding. When they are not feeding, peafowl fly up into the trees to remain safe from predators. Next we have information about the swan. There are only two swan ponds that I was able to see from the from the pen that was closed, and we couldn't get to, but we could see them from the farther side. That is here, nature habitat names. Birds also have also been named for the places they live. Have you heard of an Arctic tern tundra swan like that one in the picture? The burrowing owl, the marsh wren, pine warbler, boreal, north or north wind, chickadee, Australian pelican, and barn swallow. Each name describes where it lives. These birds honor God by living where God planned for them. David honored God in the same way by asking God where he should live and obeying God's voice. On the other side, we read swan's mom and dad stay together for life. Information from allaboutbirds.org/guide/ID. Swans are large, elegant birds. They mate for life, very loyal. Swans have up to 25,000 feathers. Known for their graceful swimming, the cygnets are baby swans, that's what they're called. They can fly at 60 miles per hour speed. Swans' necks have 23 to 25 vertebrae. They can be found on every continent, well, except Antarctica. Mute swans are known for silence. They use for communication. They use their neck for communication. Swans are large water birds known for their graceful appearance and long necks. They are found in both freshwater and saltwater habitats and are known for their monogamous mating behavior. Swans are herbivores, feeding on aquatic plants and grasses. They're also known for their aggressive behavior when defending their nests and territories. Here's swan species identification. Fun facts for what? For kids, all you need to know. Swans, a prominent member of the Anatidae, Anatidae family, are recognized as some of the largest flying birds, with around 7 known species, including the mute swan, trumpeter swan, whooper swan, tundra swan, what is that one? Black swan, black neck swan, and the beewick swan. Each species boasts distinction features that aid in their identification. Next is the information from the porcupine, the North American kind. Arguably, the porcupine, technically the North American porcupine, whose scientific name is Erythizon dorsatum, is the Hudson Valley's oddest looking creature. Everybody knows about their quills, but we discovered there's lots more to learn about these elusive animals, including unusual calls and smells and the cutest baby name ever. Our nation's second largest rodent after beavers, porcupines can weigh up to 35 pounds. Along with hair, their bodies sport up to 30,000 barbed quills, each 1 to 4 inches long. Made of keratin, and the same things in our fingernails, the same substance found in our hair and fingernails, the quills detach easily when touched. On average, porcupines live 5 to 7 years, but some have been known to reach 20. Porcupines elaborate mating rituals involve courtship dances and a host of sounds, whining, moaning, grunting, clicking of their teeth, in addition to wails, shrieks, and sound like screaming. Often several males compete for mating rights. Contrary to legend, porcupines can't shoot their quills, but they are able to raise them. They emit a pungent odor, likened to the smell of stinky cheese, to let predators, primarily fishers, but also courageous owls and coyotes, know they're serious about defending themselves. If cornered, they swing their tails like a mace. 9 wild facts about porcupines in Hudson. Then you have the red panda. The red pandas, whose native name is Ailurus fulgens, also known as the lesser panda, is a small mammal native to the eastern Himalayas and southwestern China. It has a dense reddish brown fur with a black belly and legs, white lined ears, mostly white muzzle, and a ringed tail. Its head to body length is 51 to 63.5 centimeters with a 28 to 48.5 centimeter tail, and it weighs between 3.2 and 15 kilograms. It is well adapted to climbing due to its flexible joints and curved semi-retractile claws. And as given from wikipedia.org/wiki/redpanda and the Red Panda at Prospect Zoo. The Red Panda cubs at Prospect Park Zoo are a delightful addition to the zoo's discovery trail. Visitors can see these adorable cubs along the outdoor exhibit, where they are cared for by their mother, Willow. The cubs, named Ki and Lou, are part of a subspecies known as Siam's red panda, native to the eastern Himalayan range in China and northern Myanmar. They are not related to the giant pandas and belong to the superfamily that includes weasels, skunks, and raccoons. The cubs are currently on exhibit until 2 p.m., but they go inside for their nap, and their father will be on exhibit in the afternoon. The zoo's mission is to save wildlife from wild places worldwide through science, conservation in action, education, and inspiring people to value nature. All of this info given from the Prospect Park Zoo's website itself. And next is the silver pheasant. The silver pheasant is a pheasant found in forests, mainly in mountains of Southeast Asia, with introduced populations in Hawaii and various locations of the U.S. mainland. The male is black and white in color, while the female is mainly brown. Both have a bare red face and red legs. The silver pheasant is common in aviculture and overall also remains, I mean, aviculture and overall also will remain common in the world, in the wild. However, some of its subspecies are rare and threatened. Silver pheasants are gregarious ground-dwelling birds that are usually seen in small flocks. Silver pheasants are active during the day and prefer to forage in the morning and in the evening. They spend most of their life on the ground and will fly only to escape danger. These birds communicate with the help of loud whistles, high-pitched chirping, and during the courtship display, males produce cackles and grunts. Information from silver pheasant facts, diet, habitat, and pictures on animalia.bio. And here in the lesson from FBL Year 2, Quarter 1 about the pheasant, in Lesson 4, Nature, Courtship, Pheasant. The relationship between a male and female bird is called a pair bond. After the female responds to the courtship of the male, they form a pair bond. In the spring, the male pheasant chooses and defends a territory. To attract a hen, he makes elaborate displays with cackles, crows, screams, and whistles. The hen only clucks and peeps. Absalom, David Sturgill's son, was very beautiful on the outside like the pheasant. He attracted many people to himself. Inside, he was rebellious and disobedient. Instead of being a help to his father, he attempted to take his kingdom. He was not successful in the end. Like the male birds attracting a mate, Absalom had courted a popular favor. He made an elaborate display of himself going about like he was the king. He also used his voice, like a male bird does in courtship, to woo the people to his side by listening to their grievances, expressing sympathy with their sufferings or regret at the inefficiency of the government. He carried his courtship with the people so far that he made a practice of kissing those who came to him at the gate of the city. The finally the kookaburra. The kookaburra are woodland kingfishers that live in Australia and New Guinea. Their call sounds like a loud laugh. They are 17 inches or 43 centimeters long. Their heads are large with long pointed bills. They are known black, they are brown, black, and white, some with a little blue hue on their feathers. Kookaburras eat caterpillars. There's frogs, fish, lizards, insects, small mammals, snakes, and worms. Their nests are built in tree holes or even in holes inside of the bank of a stream. There they lay two or three white eggs. The male bird is a good defender of the home against any predators. This can remind us of how Saul was not a good defender of Israel because he was not obedient to God. God cannot protect those who are woefully disobedient. However, God had already appointed a new king who would bring honor to him. In the description of the kookaburra is a rather stout bird with a medium-length tail and a broad beak. Its thick beak, also known as a bill, is darker on top and lighter on the bottom. They vary in color on top from dark brown to tan and have a cream or white colored belly. The kookaburra's tail has a red hue and is marked with black bars. Interesting facts about the kookaburra. Kookaburras are an interesting species to say the least. Possibly the most well-known Australian bird, the laughing kookaburra is a character that instills curiosity and wonder. Kookaburras hold the nickname of the Bushman's Clock due to their unique vocalizations. This name occurs because kookaburras are vocal at sunrise and sunset, and thus could function as an alarm clock. The distribution of the kookaburra. The original range of the kookaburra was eastern mainland Australia, but the laughing kookaburra has since been introduced to western Australia, New Zealand, and Tasmania. In our reference reading of our lesson in Mammals of the Bible Review, taken from our study book, The Desire of Ages, Chapter 36, The Touch of Faith, Part 2. The Iris pressed closer to the Savior, and together they hurried to the ruler's home. Already the hired mourners and flute players were there, filling the air with their clamor. The presence of a crowd and the tumult jarred upon the spirit of Jesus. He tried to silence them, saying, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." They were indignant at the words of the stranger. They had seen the child in the embrace of death, and they laughed into scorn. Requiring them all to leave the house, Jesus took with him the father and mother of the maiden, and the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, and together they entered the chamber of death. The Desire of Ages, page 343, paragraph 1. Jesus approached the bedside, and taking the child's hand in his own, he pronounced unsoftly in the familiar language of her home the words, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." Desire of Ages, page 243, paragraph 2. Instantly, a tremor passed through the unconscious form. The pulses of life beat again. The lips enclosed with a smile. The eyes opened widely as if from sleep, and the maiden gazed with wonder on the group beside her. She arose, and her parents clasped her in their arms and wept for joy. Desire of Ages, page 243, paragraph 3. Our three bonus questions review. You can find the lesson, you find the answers in the lesson book or in the Bible itself. Question one is, who was in the crowd pressing around Jesus? The answer is in Matthew 9:20. Two, what did she do? The answer is also in Matthew 9:20. Three, what had she been hoping for? The answer is in Matthew 9:21. I'll turn the mic back to Mom now. Thank you for listening.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And remember, little ones, peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The born of Jesus with birth peace with peace, perfect peace, a future all unknown. Jesus, we know and He is all. The Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious family that are in the room and those that will be listening later on recording and other devices. Sabbath blessing, everyone. Our song is a hymn entitled Before the Throne of God Above, and you will find it number 283. If you would like to be able to share the hymns with us to the glory of God, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives some please for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know the one in heaven he stands. No tongue can bid me this depart. No tongue can bid me this depart.
When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me.
Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brethren. If any one of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even one of our guests would like to be able to open our review section of our family meeting, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please visit the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thy labor and do all thy work, and the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Please visit the people that's in the Sabbath and the people that's not in the Sabbath. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, little one. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from Scripture Song Singers in the section Promises of the Memory Verse CD. This is taken from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, King James Version. Amen. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones, before we hear your questions or any comments that you would like to share on part 8 of our lesson entitled Go Teach Our Nation in our storybook, The Desire Pages? Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
The Desire of Ages, page 827, continuing. All who consecrate soul, body, and spirit to God will be constantly receiving a new endowment of physical and mental power. The inexhaustible supplies of heaven are at their command. Christ gives them the breath of his own spirit, the life of his own life. The Holy Spirit puts forth its highest energy to work in heart and mind. And then on the side it says, Christ lives in me. And it also says, Spirit of Christ. And it also says, come here, baby. Come on, honey. And it also says, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes Christ real to us. And in all three pictures, there's a heart on the people, like it's the heart of the people. That says Christ lives with me, Spirit of Christ, and the Holy Spirit makes Christ real to us. And the next slide, please, and I'll bubble down.
Continuing, the God's grace of grace of God
enlarges
and multiplies their vultures.
Faculties.
And every perfection of the divine nature comes to their assistance in the work of saving souls through
cooperation.
Complete with Christ, they are complete in him. In their human weakness, they are
enabled
to do the deeds of
omnipotence.
The Desire of Ages, page 827, paragraph 3. Also, The Desire of Ages, page 827. The Savior longs to manifest his grace and stamp his character on the whole world. It is his purchased possession, and he desires to make men free and pure and holy. Though Satan works to hinder this purpose, through the bloodshed of the word for the word world, there are
triumphs
to be achieved that will bring glory to God and his Lamb. The next slide, please. And the Lamb. The Lamb beside their ones.
Continuing. Christ will not be satisfied till the victory is complete, and he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11. All the nations of the earth shall hear the gospel of his grace. Not all will receive his grace, but a seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. Psalm chapter 22, verse 30. Next slide, please, and we'll bubble down and share with someone.
Continuing. Come on, Jeremiah.
The kingdom and
dominion.
Dominion and the greatness of the kingdom, neither.
Under
the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, of the
Most High, and
of the
and
the earth shall be full of the
knowledge
of the Lord, as the waters cover the seed, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the
rising.
Isaiah.
No.
Of the son Daniel.
Daniel chapter
20.
Daniel chapter
7.
Verse
27.
And Isaiah chapter
800.
Isaiah chapter what?
Yeah.
What number is that? Isaiah chapter
11, 9.
Verse
59, 19.
Good. Desire of ages. Desire, that's what DA means. Desire of ages, chapter 827, paragraph 4. Chrissy? I'm closer.
How beautiful it is.
Upon
the
mountains
are the feet of him that
bringeth
good things.
Tidings.
That
publisheth.
Peace. That.
Same word up there. Bring it.
Good. Things.
Tidings
of good. That.
Same words again. Publisheth.
Salvation. That.
Saith.
Unto.
Zion.
Zion, the God. Thy God.
Reigneth.
Reigneth.
Thy God reigneth.
Thy God reigneth. Break forth into joy. Break.
Sing.
Together. Be.
Waste.
Peace.
Places. Good. Next slide, please. Continuing. For the Lord hath comforted his people. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7 through 10, Desire of Ages, page 828, paragraph 1.
Amen. Good job, everyone. What have we learned and ways we have grown? Let's consider our verse for the review answers to the question taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version, a memory verse song. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that ask you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We are going to read all the questions for those that are not able to see the screen. And if you are moved, be able to share for the edification of the little ones and family and the glory of God, you may do so by unmuting your mic. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And the last one is, what do you learn from this lesson? Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? My computer.
Who is the main character, or who are the main characters? This was question number one. I believe it's Jesus, Mary, the disciples, and the angel at the tomb.
That was not for the story. Number two, Joshua.
The answer to the question to what is the main idea for this section of our story? It's referring into the future events of the kingdom of heaven. The answer to question three, where did the story take place? Outside of Jerusalem.
Number four, when did the story begin? The story began after Christ is risen. Number five is how we can relate this story. I can relate this story in that time Christ was preparing the disciples to give the gospel. And in this time, we are also preparing, oh God, the Lord is preparing us to give the gospel, and he is giving a blessing to the ones that do carry the gospel forth.
What did we learn from this lesson? I could be able to share the beauty of the power of the Holy Spirit that will aid God's people, and how important the Sabbath is, because with the Sabbath we could have the knowledge of who Christ is, and he is able to open to us the gospel of his life, that we can be able to share it for the gospel itself. It is the life of Christ, and how we can be able to, by beholding, become changed, by emptying out all that we have in our hearts and allow the heart to be a chamber for Christ to be able to dwell. And we are so grateful that the power of the Holy Spirit, by the movement of Christ and the Father, are drawing so many souls. And we know that through the third angel's message and the Lord cry, the chances of allowing many to get out of whatever they are in that is Christless, they can be able to have another chance to get to know who the Savior is and to find where he can be found in the most holy place. Who would like to share? Dear ones, may you unmute your mic. We are going to continue with our thoughts and also poem and special music. Our thoughts is taken from the book of Maranatha, chapter 222, entitled Sanctification of the Whole Man. And our reflection is in chapter 230, entitled Sanctification is for Sabbath Keepers. And the opening of our scripture is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, 23 and 24. And it reads, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
The truth must sanctify the whole man, his mind, his thoughts, his heart, his strength. His vital powers will not be consumed upon his own lustful practices. These must be overcome, or they will overcome him. The thoughts need purifying. What might not men and women have been had they realized that the treatment of the body has everything to do with the vigor and purity of mind and heart? Maranatha, page 230, paragraph 2.
The true Christian obtains an experience which brings holiness. He is without a spot of guilt upon the conscience or a taint of corruption upon the soul. The spirituality of the law of God with its limiting principles is brought into his life. The light of truth irradiates his understanding.
A glow of perfect love for the Redeemer clears away the miasma which has interposed between his soul and God. The will of God has become his will, pure, elevated, refined, and sanctified. His countenance reveals the light of heaven. His body is a fit temple for the Holy Spirit. Holiness adorns his character. God can commune with him, for soul and body are in harmony with God. Maranatha, page 230, paragraph 3.
God would have us realize that He has a right to mind, soul, body, and spirit, to all that He possesses. We are His by creation and by redemption. As our Creator, He claims our entire service. As our Redeemer, He has a claim of love as well as of right. Of love without a parallel. This claim we should realize every moment of our existence.
Our bodies, our souls, our lives are His, not only because they are His free gift, but because He constantly supplies us with His benefits and gives us strength to use our faculties. He says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Maranatha, page 230, paragraph.
Those who are sons of God will represent Christ in character. Their works will be perfumed by the infinite tenderness, compassionate love, and purity of the Son of God. And the more completely mind and body are yielded to the Holy Spirit, the greater will be the fragrance of our offering to Him. Maranatha, page 230, paragraph 5.
Reflection. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 10, King James Version. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. From Maranatha, page 238, paragraph 1. And on paragraph 2 and 3, it reads, God has declared in His word that the seventh day is a sign between Him and His chosen people, a sign of their loyalty. The seventh day is God's chosen day. He has not left this matter to be remodeled by priest or ruler. It is of too great importance to be left to human judgment. God saw that men would study their own convenience and choose a day best suited to their inclinations. A day bearing no divine authority. And He has stated plainly that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Amen.
Every man in God's world is under the laws of his government. God has placed the Sabbath in the bosom of the Decalogue and has made it the criterion of obedience. Through it we may learn of His power as displayed in His works and His word. Maranatha, 238, paragraph 4.
Men cannot place themselves more decidedly in opposition to God's work and to His law than by upholding a day that is without what evidence of sanctity and professing to worship Him on that day. Those who have corrupted the law by a substituting a false Sabbath for the holy Sabbath of God, who compel the observance of this false Sabbath, exalt themselves above God and are spurious above the genuine. Maranatha, page 238, paragraph 5.
Sanctification is claimed by professed Christians who ignore God's holy rest day for a spurious Sabbath. But God declares that the sanctification coming from Him is bestowed on those only who honors Him by obeying His commands. The sanctification claimed by those who continue in transgression is a spurious sanctification. Thus, the religious world is deceived by the enemy of God and man. Maranatha, page 238, paragraph 6.
Men have sought out many inventions. They have taken a common day upon which God has placed no sanctity and have clothed it with sacred prerogatives. They have declared it to be a holy day, but this does not give it a vestige of sanctity. They dishonor God by accepting human institutions and presenting to the world as the Christian Sabbath, a day which has no "this saith the Lord" for its authority. Maranatha, page 238, verse 7, or paragraph 7. Taking from Maranatha, Taking from Maranatha, chapter 230, entitled Sanctification is for Sabbath keepers, page 238, 1-7.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. And Sabbath blessing, my father. And we have a poem also to share. The poem is entitled A Child's Meditation for Sabbath, taken from Children Bible Activity Book, Year 1, Quarter 1, Lesson 3 of page 44, from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear one?
Number 1. God, who this world in 6 days made, on the seventh day from the labor stayed, all things on earth His presence sang, all high heaven's courts with anthems sang. Like them may I, with children's cry, sing praise to Him who dwells on high.
Okay, thank you. When God, His chosen people, led and sent from heaven their daily bread, each Sabbath day to Him they turned, and altars built and incense burned. O Lord, let me be, an altar be, whose incense shall be praised to Thee.
O, may this day that comes to me, rich with so many a memory, this Sabbath which my God has given, prepare me for the rest in heaven. Lord, grant that I may this evening say that I have lived with Thee today.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear Remnant family. We are going to share special music. This is from Exodus 28 through verse 11, King James.
Keep it home. holy. 6 days shall thy labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou do any work. Thy, my son, my daughter, nor my maiden, my matron, nor my cattle,
nor thy sheep, shall we thy gate.
For 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that it is, and rest the Sabbath day. Wherefore the Lord bless the Sabbath day and holiday.
Remember the Sabbath day.
And praise the Lord, we will have time in between or even after the service to share our testimony. But we have come to the ending of our chapter 8. This is the last part of our chapter. Next week, we will begin with a new chapter of our lesson book entitled To My Father and Your Father. In a study book, The Desire of Ages. Any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to close our review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads on our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father, we thank you for bringing us safely through another week to praise your holy name and to receive your rich blessings. Be with all the little ones, Father Jesus, as we continue to move on. Thank you for their participation and also for their parents. We thank you, Father Jesus, for all the blessings that you have given in this section. Be with us now as we go to the next section of the study. Be with the speaker. Be with all the words that we will receive, Father Jesus, I pray. Elevate us into higher ground and help us, Father Jesus, to learn all the things that you will give to us. Bless and keep all the ones that are in any kind of pain or distress, hunger. I pray for them that you provide the things they stand in need of at this time. Thank you again, Lord, for this blessed Sabbath day. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, that will be September the 13th, 2025, we will have our lesson 443 of our chapter 87 entitled, To My Father and Your Father. Leaving our scripture and quote. The scripture is taken from Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7, King James, and it reads, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." And a small quote from Manuscript Releases, page 111, paragraph 3, "Christ's death and resurrection completed his covenant. Before this time, it was revealed through types and shadows, which pointed to the great offering to be made by the world's Redeemer, offered in promise for the sins of the world. Anciently, believers were saved by the same Savior as now, but it was a God veil. They saw God's mercy in figures. The promise given to Adam and Eve in Eden was the gospel to a fallen race. The promise was made that the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head, and it shall bruise his heel. Christ's sacrifice is the glorious fulfillment of the whole Jewish economy. The Son of Righteousness has risen. Christ, our righteousness, is shining in brightness upon us." May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.